What is the way to peace? Mankind does not know. World leaders strive to achieve peace through treaties and ceasefire agreements, but these attempts ultimately always lead to more conflict. The Bible reveals the only way to peace. Learn how God will bring permanent peace to the world next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
So today is a historic day for peace, and Prime Minister Netanyahu and I have just concluded an important meeting on many vital issues, including Iran, trade, the expansion of the Abraham Accords, and most importantly, we discussed how to end the war in Gaza, but it's just a part of the bigger picture, which is peace in the Middle East, and let's call it eternal peace in the Middle East. So this is a big, big day, a beautiful day, potentially one of the great days ever in civilization. Everything getting solved. It's called peace in the Middle East. Sort of interesting. I'll be the only president. I don't think any president has stopped one war. I stopped 8 wars in 8 months. Did I get a Nobel Prize? No. I said, can you believe it?
Donald Trump would be the right leader to restore this great American republic and spread love throughout the Holy Land. The Jews and Arabs can't agree on anything, but they both agreed that they trusted Donald Trump.
Together we'll forge a much safer and more hopeful future for everybody.
President Trump's historic peace plan in the Middle East, and things are going, frankly, better than I expected that they were.
I also want to thank a man who's been unbelievable in terms of Israel and so many other things. He was a great real estate developer. He had a great personality. And you need a personality for this. And I said, he's just as good as there is, and he's done so well. And you look at what's happened with Israel. We have peace in the Middle East. Can you believe it? Peace in the Middle East. And he's special envoy Steve Witkoff.
The CMCC that we're setting up now, this is going to be used in other conflicts as we figure out all the intricacies of how to modulate a peace deal, go from war to peace.
We're now at the end of your first year of this second term. What do you hope to accomplish in the next 3 years?
Well, I hope I can have the same year that we had. Look, we have been acknowledged to have the greatest 9 months. You know, it's 9 months. The greatest 9 months in the history of the presidency. So if I can keep that going, I'll be very happy. It's turned out to be a new passion for me, making our city. I had no idea we could be that successful. I thought it would take a much longer period of time. It's going to be very tough to beat Washington and Lincoln, but we're going to give it a try, right? Hey, they didn't put out 8 wars, 9 coming, all right? We put out 8 wars, and the 9th is coming, believe it or not.
Peace on earth is not out of reach.
Peace on earth is not out of reach, and that's actually true. On today's program, we're going to talk about how God is going to bring everlasting peace to this earth. Welcome back to the program. This is Stephen Fleury subbing in for my father on The Key of David. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You look at man's track record, you look at the history, you look at the history of war. We had a publication just recently, The Trumpet Magazine. Peace, it's on the subject of peace. And why do so many peace talks fail? We hear about everlasting peace even as ceasefire agreements are broken within days or weeks. It just happens all the time. And yet the pursuit of peace, I mean, it's never ending. And you can't question people's motives. There's lots of diplomats and peacemakers that have sincere intentions. But what is wrong with man? What is wrong with the human heart? Why can't we have an everlasting peace? In October, we passed the 2-year anniversary of the October 7 massacre. And if you go back a few years before that, the strike on Israel, the attack on Israel, October 7, 2023, I think it was in 2020 when, I mean, it was getting headlines all over the world, the Abraham Accords and peace in the Middle East. And then just 3 years later, 3 years, you've got the worst attack on Jews since the Holocaust. And it's just astounding to me that people forget that so soon. All the raping and the pillaging, the looting, the burning, the murdering, taking people into captivity, taking hostages, holding them for 2 years. And then how quickly world opinion or the sentiment changes. Within weeks, within months. You know, the international community, they're ganging up on Israel, telling Israel to pull back, telling Israel not to defend itself. Using leverage to pressure Israel into the terms of a ceasefire agreement, which, as is usually the case, it included another lopsided prisoner swap. And then Hamas just immediately begins to violate the terms of the cease agreement. It happens over and over again. Last week on the program, I mentioned that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3, where it says, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction, swift destruction is coming. And so that's a signal. That's a sign. When the peacemakers are out there saying, we've done it. We've got peace. It's locked in. It's permanent. When they start saying this, then you know we're drawing close to the return of Jesus Christ. As I covered last week on this program, you know we're in the last days. You just know it. This is from Tablet Magazine, November 5th, 2025. It's about the bloodlands in Africa. It says this, of all the wars I have covered over the last 50 years, this is one of the fiercest and, to be sure, the most forgotten. One of the fiercest wars in the past 50 years. And you can do a search online and, I mean, all kinds of different numbers come up. How many, since the establishment of the United Nations, how many wars have there been these past 80 or 85 years? How many casualties of war? Well, some say hundreds of wars, maybe 150. And then north of 100 million casualties. The United Nations, when they inaugurated that grouping of nations that came together after World War II and said, you know what, we're going to use our power not for proliferating weapons or causing wars, but we're actually going to use our power to stop wars. And they haven't been able to do it. And here's one that's just ignored by the world. Why? Because it's in Africa? Who knows? It says here, this war, the fourth the country has known since its independence, has already produced 12 million displaced people and 150,000 civilian victims. 150,000. It says three times the dead in Gaza. I tell myself no one on American campuses or in Hollywood seems to care in the slightest. No protesters in the streets of New York, London, or Paris decry the murder of millions of Africans. A daily martyrdom, a boundless savagery with barely the odd wire dispatch. Nobody writes about it. Nobody reports on it. There's a few, but it doesn't get much attention. Not like Israel does when they unleash a counteroffensive to defend their nation against a massacre, the worst massacre against Jews since the Holocaust. And even the images, the video of that massacre, I mean, they disappeared quickly from social media. You don't see much of that at all. It says here, who could have imagined 17 years ago when reporting for the Financial Times, I set off for those humble capitals of Darfur where the war had already claimed 300,000 dead, that we would today still be here in the middle of a brutal and unending war. It says earlier still in 2001, reporting for Le Monde, I crisscrossed Christian South Sudan. And that's the thing, too. A lot of the people being slaughtered in Sudan are Christians. Now, you would think there'd be lots of groups and institutions in the United States that would be for doing something, sending the ambassadors over there trying to make peace. This one isn't even counted among the wars that the Trump administration is out there trying to stop. It says here, 2 million dead, 2 million and 4 million displaced. It's going back to the history at the start of this century. And then the Nuba Mountains, organized famine, forced exodus of women and children, sold into slavery. It says, could I have foreseen for a single instant that a quarter of a century later, we would have let this carnage continue? It just continues on. But that's been man's history. And it talks about the more recent massacres, saying that, you know, the weapon of choice, one of them, is rape. And then it talks in this article about the children of rape. There was a lot of that that went on October 7 as well, 2 years ago. And, you know, we passed the anniversary, as I say, of October 7, and it was about that same time when the ceasefire agreement was announced. And there was all this talk about eternal peace and disarming Hamas and putting in some kind of international government in Gaza. It's going slowly, just the way Hamas wants it to go. But raping and pillaging and looting and murdering, those are weapons of choice for so many Satan-possessed and inspired individuals that just want to kill Christians or Jews or whoever. What is wrong with man's heart? And then the willingness that so many Western diplomats have to just sit down with terrorists in nice clothing. They put on the suits, but when they take them off, I mean, they're hardened terrorists that want to blot out Israel or kill Jews. And they're open about it. They're not even trying to conceal it. So how do you make peace with that? James 4, verse 1, talking about the human heart here. And there's many passages in the Bible that discuss this. Jeremiah 17, 9, Romans 8, 7. Just talking about the built-in hostility that is there toward God and toward His law, because the God of this world is Satan the devil, and he is broadcasting his attitude and moods over all the earth. This is James 4. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? I mean, why all the fighting and the killing? What's the basic cause? Well, the basic cause is human nature. Human nature, and Herbert Armstrong has a chapter really devoted to this subject in the book that I want to feature on today's show, The Incredible Human Potential. It not only tells you the cause of war and conflict, human nature, and Satan the devil that's behind it. It's actually Satan's nature. It's of the devil. It's inspired by the devil. But then this book also tells you about the way to peace. The final chapter, in fact, is titled World Peace. How will it come? There is a way to everlasting peace. There is a way to eternal peace. It's not out of reach. But in this present evil world, I mean, mankind is not going the way that will achieve everlasting peace. Far from it. James 4 here in verse 2. It says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. We don't have peace because we won't bring God into it. God is the one that has to make peace. God is the one who shows us the way to peace. And yet God is the one who is routinely left out of all peace discussions, of all peace negotiations. And that's why we have never-ending wars. My father gave a program back in 2020, so this is 5 years ago. I think this was following the Abraham Accords. And listen to what he says about man's efforts to make peace. Clip two.
So they look for the blessings of peace, and why shouldn't they? He, Mr. Netanyahu, even mentioned a psalm where he said, may God bless his people with peace. Well, yes, may God bless his people with peace. But are we going to God for that peace? Are we going to God to make sure we have peace? And are we having the faith of Abraham, who's called the father of the faithful? Are we looking to God for that peace? Well, we need to think about that, because I'll tell you this, there is peace and there is hope million times greater than what they're talking about. There really is. Because all of these events, I mean all of them, are tied directly to the second coming of Jesus Christ.
That's from my father's program, this show, Key of David, just 5 years ago. Will we bring God into it? Are we looking to God for peace? Verse 3, staying in James 4 here, it says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." I mean, even when we do bring God into it, it's to satisfy our own selfish desires. We won't submit to God. We won't obey God. We don't fear God, as Paul said in Romans 3. It's every man doing what seems right in his own eyes, and that's why there's so much fighting and division. That's why there's so much lustful pursuits. The way of get, as Herbert Armstrong used to say, this little booklet here, the way of peace restored momentarily. We haven't advertised this very often. But Herbert Armstrong was known as an unofficial ambassador for world peace. I mean, there you see him on the cover with the late Anwar Sadat, the leader of Egypt back in the day. And I mean, these prime ministers and presidents, world leaders, kings, they just invited Herbert W. Armstrong into their palaces, into their presidential suites. Why? He came in with a message of simplicity about two ways of life. And the world is going one way, the way of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as for the tree of life, well, man has been cut off from God's way of thinking, from God's way of living. You can read about that at the end of Genesis 3. This book, as I say, going back to the incredible human potential, I mean, the last chapter in here, it explains how world peace will come. You can get to all of this literature at our website, thetrumpet.com. You can also look at the phone number at the bottom of your screen and call our operators and receive hard copies. Everything that we offer on this program is offered without cost or obligation. We just give it away freely, as Jesus said we should. Freely you have received, freely give. Give the truth of God. And that's what you'll find in these booklets. That's what you get in the Trumpet magazine. You can get a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet as well. And you should know also, I mean, we talk about world events. We watch and we pray and we discuss on our daily program, The Trumpet Daily. You can get to that at our website as well. We have a live show every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. Just go to thetrumpet.com to watch the live stream or the podcast after it's posted later. Let me just give you a quote from The Incredible Human Potential, this book that I just want to draw attention to today. It says, "This world trouble began in 1914. So Mr. Armstrong's just giving a sweeping overview of the last century. And it says, there was a recess from 1918, when World War I ended, that is, and 1939. He says, we're in the second recess now. But now, at last, we have nuclear energy. We have hydrogen bombs stockpiled in such power and volume that they could blast all human life off this planet several times over. There are other destructive weapons today in existence, any of which could erase humanity from Earth." He says, "It's time we face the hard, cold, realistic fact. Humanity has two alternatives. Either there is an almighty, all-powerful God who's about to step in and set up the kingdom of God to rule all nations with supernatural and supranational force to bring peace, or else all human life will be obliterated." And he references there Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, where Jesus talked about great tribulation just before he returns to this earth. These are prophecies of God, and prophecy is sure. You can stake your life on it. You can anchor your soul to it. Matthew 24 and verse 21, let me just read it. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And then verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. In the Amplified Version, it says, and if those days had not been shortened, no human being would endure and survive. Now that's the red letter Bible. I mean, those are red letters in the Bible. That means it's from Jesus Christ. Christ said that. No human being would endure and survive. That tells you, I mean, that tells you where the efforts, the endless efforts, the active pursuit, it tells you where the active pursuit of peace will end. It's going to end in disappointment, in ruin, in suffering, in carnage. The eternal peace that man seeks, it's going to be very short-lived. It's not going to last. Only God can make it last permanently, that latest trumpet issue. Why peace talks fail? You need to subscribe to the trumpet so that you can know. I mean, look at all of the man-made organizations, the League of Nations, the United Nations. More recently, you've got the European Union, even the United States. I mean, we're coming up to the United States' 250th birthday. You have all these terms that sound so great. United, Union, League. I mean, and you've got treaties and peace pacts and ceasefires. Yes, and you have a lot of war to go with it. You have a lot of suffering to go with it. You have a lot of October 7s. I mean, there's one going on right now in Sudan. There's one that happened in Israel 2 years ago. The United States had it happen at 9/11, almost 25 years ago. It just plays out over and over again. I don't have time to get into a quote from President Truman. He was at the opening ceremonies for the United Nations when it was established in 1945, and that's where he said, hey, we're all the strong nations are coming together, and we're going to use our strength to make peace. And as it happens, Herbert Armstrong, who wrote this book, The Incredible Human Potential, he was at that conference, the opening of that conference, and he said, I don't see the seeds for peace being planted here. Just the opposite. They're preparing for war at this conference. Let me just take you through to, I'm having to skip a little bit, but let me take you through to Mark 1, and we'll finish on the solution here. Mark 1 and verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark gets right to the point. This is the beginning of the true gospel. And what was that gospel? Well, it talks about Christ and the titanic battle of the ages in verses 11 through 13, squaring off against the devil, Satan the devil, the god of this world. And it was a battle over who would rule this earth. And Jesus won that battle. Mystery of the Ages. I offered the Mystery of the Ages book a couple weeks ago. But it says, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, qualified. Never until that minute could the good news of the coming kingdom of God be announced to the world. Now the Son of God resisted and conquered Satan, had qualified to reestablish God's government and set up the kingdom of God on earth. He qualified to set up that kingdom, but first he had to draw out and select disciples, students, that would learn about the way to peace, that would be taught and trained under the direction of Jesus Christ. And those apostles would have a hand in establishing the foundation of the true church, God's family, the church that is to marry Jesus Christ and to assist him for all eternity, and then to bring in the billions on this earth who have ever lived, so that they can finally have their minds open to the truth. All that's covered, by the way, in The Incredible Human Potential. That's why you need to call our operators today and request your free copy. So he qualifies in this titanic battle. And notice the next verse. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Change your ways. Come out of sin. Stop living the get way of life. and embrace the way of peace. Believe the gospel. Gospel means good news. It was a good news announcement. Jesus came to proclaim the truth about the coming kingdom of God. And he said all through the gospels and Paul after him, Peter, they had their minds set on the second coming of Christ. Jesus himself in John 14 said, if I go, I'm coming again. In Incredible Human Potential, again, this book that we offer freely today, it says, I have been privileged to announce, this is Mr. Armstrong writing, to many of the world's great and near great, this world's only hope, sure hope to occur in our time. It says, few indeed know that Jesus Christ came not as a religious leader on a soul-saving crusade, but as a pioneer news forecaster. No man of historic note has been so completely misrepresented, so utterly misunderstood. Everybody has their concept of Jesus Christ and his message. Well, really, they don't even focus on the message. It's just about Christ, and even that message they get wrong. He came as a messenger with a message from Almighty God to mankind. His message was big news, a vital and sensational news announcement for the future. He came to talk about the way to everlasting peace. God will bring that when he establishes his kingdom on this earth in the years ahead. And it's coming soon because, like I said last week, I mean, we are living in the last days. That, sadly, that's all we have time for on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Key of David. And we appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request our booklets, The Incredible Human Potential and The Way of Peace, Restored Momentarily. Order now. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.